Imagine waking up to discover an invisible wall has sealed you inside a small alpine valley, with everyone beyond it frozen in time like statues. This is the haunting reality that confronts the unnamed female narrator of The Wall. Alone, except for a hunting dog named Lynx, she faces the ultimate isolation, not just physical separation, but the complete erasure of human society. What makes this premise so unsettling is its inexplicability. There's no dramatic apocalypse, no explanation, no enemy to fight, just an abrupt severance from the world as she knew it. I no longer had any choice but to arrange myself within this new reality, she writes in her journal, which forms the novel itself. The wall serves as both literal boundary and powerful metaphor, creating a microcosm where she must confront herself without social distractions. Before the wall, she reflects, I never truly saw myself. I was always looking through the eyes of others. Now, with no human gaze to define her, she begins the painful process of seeing herself clearly for the first time. With society gone, the narrator's focus shifts entirely to survival. Her days center on essential tasks: gardening, hunting, animal care, gathering firewood, creating a rhythm that anchors her against despair. Only through work could I keep myself sane, she explains, as physical labor becomes her salvation. Time transforms, measured by natural cycles rather than clocks, ripening berries, the cow's pregnancy, changing seasons. Her detailed accounts reveal not just survival techniques, but a growing reverence for labor. Each stroke of the scythe connected me to the earth in a way I'd never experienced before. A former middle-class housewife, she now hunts, chops wood, and slaughters animals, necessity eliminating traditional gender roles. The routine of physical work shields her from existential dread. I work until my hands blister and my back aches, because only then can I sleep without dreams of what lies beyond the wall. In a world without humans, animals evolve from livestock into essential companions with profound connections. Lynx, her hunting dog, becomes her most faithful friend, anticipating needs and offering silent comfort, his warm presence during her fever more healing than medicine. The independent white cat forms a different bond, coming and going as she pleases, a reminder that not everything belongs to her. When the cat births kittens, the narrator experiences joy in nurturing new life. Bella the cow and bull create rhythm through daily milking rituals. Bella listens better than any human ever did, she notes wryly. These relationships reach an emotional climax when a stranger kills Bull and Lynx. Her grief is devastating. I carried Lynx's suddenly small, light body to the bench, he who had been so alive just moments before. What makes these connections powerful is their authenticity. She doesn't anthropomorphize her animal companions, but learns to understand them on their terms, discovering relationships based on presence and wordless understanding. Prolonged solitude transforms the narrator's identity. Initially, she clings to her pre-wall self, wife, mother, social being, occasionally checking mirrors despite having no audience. After a year, she writes, I no longer recognize the woman I was. That person seems like a character in a half-forgotten story. She stops using her name in thoughts, finding it irrelevant. Her physical appearance changes dramatically. Skin weathered by elements, hands calloused from labor, body stronger and more functional. I look more like a tree than a human being now, she notes. The social performances of her previous life become alien. I used to spend so much energy wondering what others thought of me. Now that energy goes toward watching cloud patterns or listening to birds. Without human gaze, she questions her existence. She barely misses her previous roles, recognizing her maternal identity was largely a social construction. I was never allowed to discover who I might have been because I was always defined by my relationship to others. The environment transforms from backdrop to active presence in the narrator's life, becoming both teacher and healer. I never truly saw a tree before the wall came, she writes, now observing bark patterns and filtered sunlight. Her perception sharpens through necessity, noting which clouds bring rain, which bird songs mark time, which plants indicate fertility. This practical knowledge evolves into recognition of ecological connections. Nature becomes her emotional sanctuary. When grief overwhelms, she finds comfort in the forest. The trees ask nothing of me. They simply stand, offering their silent presence. After losing animal companions, she lies on the forest floor, letting the earth absorb my sorrow. Nature models emotional processing as storms pass and seasons change. The narrator develops an ethic of taking only what she needs, acknowledging her dependence on the ecosystem. Witnessing cycles of death and regeneration helps her confront mortality. Death is not an ending, but a transformation. The body returns to the earth and becomes something new. The wall creates both physical separation and a boundary between the narrator's present and former life. Memory becomes simultaneously precious and painful in her new reality. She initially tries preserving memories like photographs that might fade if not regularly examined, while objects in the hunting lodge trigger associations with her previous world. Over time, her relationship with memory shifts. Remembering began to feel like a form of self-torture, as recollections of simple pleasures would leave her in tears. She develops a strategy of focusing on immediate tasks when memories threaten to overwhelm her. Her most poignant reflections concern human touch. I sometimes wake with the sensation of someone's hand in mine, only to find my fingers closed around nothing. The narrator's report becomes an act of memory preservation, testimony to her existence. I write so that I don't forget who I was and to remember that there was a world before this one. With distance, she recognizes patterns invisible while in society. I was never truly alive before. After two seasonal cycles behind the wall, the narrator has found a fragile balance while acknowledging its precariousness. Everything I've built could disappear in an instant. Her perspective has transformed. I no longer ask why this happened or when it will end. Those questions belong to a woman who no longer exists. Instead, she focuses on immediate possibilities: Bella's pregnancy, potential kittens, spring seeds. Her relationship with uncertainty evolves from desperate control through strict routines to a more flexible stance. The future will bring what it brings. My task is simply to remain attentive and respond as wisely as I can. This represents hard-won equanimity, not resignation. She discovers moments of contentment, sitting in evening sunlight with lynx, watching moonlight on snow, feeling satisfaction in stored provisions. Her final image, feeding the white crow in the clearing, suggests ongoing care despite uncertainty, offering wisdom for finding meaning through full engagement with present reality.